Hi, it's Zoe, and this is episode number 70 of the Zoe Ralph Leadership Podcast. And today we are talking about James Comey's new book, Higher Loyalty. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Zoe Ralph Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
So excited to talk with you again today. It's been a while since I had an episode like this where it's just you and me, my friends. And I'm really thrilled to talk about James Comey's new book. It's led me into all sorts of investigation around Trump, the U.S. campaign, and so on. But before that, I need to set the scene. I'm actually sitting in my car in a parking lot, trying not to feel too ridiculous as people walk past me with puzzled looks as I'm talking to myself. And I thought it was worth mentioning in case somebody comes up and knocks on the window and asks me what the hell I'm doing and we get interrupted. And also to highlight, isn't this a fantastic world where we can do work and creativity from anywhere, anyhow, due to technology? And I think this is such a profound development in the history of humanity that we kind of take for granted. And I just wanted to point out that we can do work anywhere, anyhow, and even in your car. So a long time since you had a chicken update. I still have two chickens, Blackie Green Leg and Blackie Yellow Leg. And in within the new world order of two chickens, there's still a pecking order. And Yellow Leg has come up on top, and she bullies around little Green Leg, which is really sad to see. And what it's happening is Green Leg is now quite a bit smaller than Yellow Leg because she doesn't get to eat as much food because Yellow Leg stands on the food and won't let her sister eat. So there's a little drama in the chicken land. Plus, Green Leg has had mites, which is disgusting. And we've had to do some chicken doctoring. It gets pretty gross when you're dealing with chickens, I have to say. Like, their poo is gross. Everything's kind of gross. But they are good company. Well, that's the chicken news. In terms of other really cool stuff that's happened is my unconference happened. I don't even know if I've had a chance to debrief that with you. Let me give you the highlights. It was amazing. It was a great day. It was fabulous to have such a wide diversity of leaders there. The topics were right on point for people in terms of how we choose and incorporate technology into our working life to make it work for us. We looked at the future of work with Craig Rispin, and he did his usual mind-blowing tricks of showing us what's ahead and what we need to look out for. Amy Silver did a great job of talking about how we need to connect better in our performance reviews and have them be more performance previews to feed forward rather than feedback. I did a great song and dance on loyalty, of course, and I'm pretty passionate about helping workplaces and teams work better together because life really sucks when you don't get along with your team, that's for sure. We launched my new book, Loyalty. Yay! I love this book. It was a lot easier to write. That's probably part of the reason. And probably because this is my third book, I got into the rhythm of it a lot more quickly. I knew what to expect. But what I love about this book is that it's so practical and pragmatic to really help you get a handle on what you can do to set your team up right for success and for a good, solid engagement, as well as ongoing processes to make sure that you're on top of culture. Okay. What else is happening? Oh, I've got my Lara Pinta Leadership Retreat. Almost a full house, 7 out of 8 spots taken. That heads out, geez, it's next week. Awesome. And Leaders Edge Mastermind, my third group will be starting in July, and we're half full of that as well. So I'm pretty excited about all the excellent work I'm doing these days, particularly with teams doing facilitation around their team leadership culture compass and how they can work effectively together. So that's my little professional update, etc. Let's get into talking about James Comey's new book, A Higher Loyalty. What would you expect from a book like this, right? He was sacked very publicly without prior knowledge by President Trump. Maybe a year ago? In any case, you'd think a book like this is got to be all about bringing Trump down and to justify himself and to give his side of the story. Well, I didn't find it to be the case necessarily. So let me say from the outset, whatever your opinion is on Trump or Clinton in particular, your opinion is likely not to be changed by anything in this book, whether you're for or against either one of them. A lot of the facts have already been out in public since Comey gave his testimony. And he is not saying anything new in that regards about the Trump campaign, the Trump presidency, or the Clinton email affair. So you're not going to get any new facts or perspective from that point of view. However, the book has significant value in other areas. In fact, there's very little of the book actually dedicated to the Trump presidency. Two-thirds of the book is not about that at all. It's about his own leadership development, his own leadership experiences. And therein lies the value of the book. I think it's an interesting showcase of a leader's journey in a particularly ending up in a very high profile position. So in the research for this episode, I read James Comey's book. Then I read the other book that's out on the Trump presidency, Fire and Fury, which is a lot harder to read. I think James Comey has a much better style. Fire and Fury has a rapid pace to it and uses a lot of slang and jargon and probably to give you the edginess of what they portray in the Trump land. I also watched the Netflix series that's out on Trump, so got a little bit of the deeper background onto Trump's background in terms of how he rose as a construction magnate, I guess, and business magnate. Magnate, not magnet. How do you pronounce that? As a business dude. let's call him that. I watched the Lee Sales interview from ABC, which came out about a week or so ago. And what else? I did some internet research as well. I really wanted to explore perspective and really test what I knew and what I was feeling about the Trump presidency and the relationship with some of the people that he sacked, such as Comey. So this is what I learned through all of that and in James Comey's books in particular. One of the things that he showcases at the beginning is the good leaders and the bad leadership experiences that he had. So one of his most influential leaders was a manager at a supermarket where he worked as a kid. And he describes in great detail some of the incidents where he got in trouble and how this leader responded to him. And the leader responded with grace, kept his cool, and always highlighted the lesson rather than chastise the person so that you, in his respect for the person receiving the constructive feedback, you respect the leader in return. And I think this had a profound impact on Comey because he experienced a leader firsthand who could stay composed, who saw the higher, bigger picture than just the incident, was not defensive or reactive, and was fair. Comey also shares one of the incidents as a kid where he partook in bullying. He was bullied as a kid, and then he also partook in bullying. And he still cringes about it 40, 50 years later, thinking about the deliberate cruelty he set upon another kid because he was part of a gang. And he reflects deeply on this and on how we can be swayed by others around us and because of our desire to belong. And I think it was an important lesson for him that stayed throughout because he dwelled on the fact that he didn't have the courage or the strength to stand up to what was happening, to do the thing that was right. And this is a theme that comes out later when he talks about the Clinton email scandal and then his sacking, basically, and some of the interactions he had with Trump. Comey talks a lot about the courage to be humble. And I think that's an interesting concept, isn't it? He said, humility is really important, a leader. Confidence is also really important. Or maybe that's what he said. He had the confidence to be humble. I think that's right. So you need to be confident enough to be a leader, and you need to be even more confident to be humble in your leadership, to admit that you don't know everything, to seek opinion, to seek perspective. And he highlights this as one of the strengths of Obama's leadership. So Comey worked had interactions with three presidents, George W. Bush, Obama, and then President Trump. And he discusses the differences in them through the book. And in Obama, he notices in particular, his ability to be confident enough to be humble, and that Obama often sought out the opinions of others. He was not so blind as to think that he had all the answers, and he was always very curious. He compares this to Trump, who did not necessarily seek out other people's opinion, but who dominated the conversation and looked rather for affirmation as opposed to being challenged. So there was a stark contrast in the presidencies there. Even Bush, he said, had a little bit more of Obama to him in terms of being open to other opinions, had a self-deprecating kind of humor, which is a type of humility. But the deep kind of humility that Obama portrayed was quite different in Comey's book. So the confidence to be humble was a key point. Listening was another key theme that came out of Comey's book. And he showcased this, comparing the three presidents, that Bush would listen, but listen with a different, not as much depth as Obama. When you had a conversation with Obama, according to Comey, it was a push and pull experience. You pushed your opinion, you got pulled at your opinion, and it was a mutual seeking of understanding, a real exploration of what each person thought, why they thought that way, how the perspective came to be. And so in this kind of deep listening, you were enriched in the conversation and you sought to learn, to grow, and to understand. And I think, well, first of all, my friend Oscar Ciamboli, who wrote the book Deep Listening, would enjoy this part of the book because it's critical to really being able to grow as leaders is to explore perspective. And actually, I said that too quickly. I think we need to really highlight that. Our ability to explore perspective is probably one of the most fundamental things we can do as leaders to really advance our leadership and be more inclusive and to be more flexible and to be more responsive and to be more ethical. So this listening piece, I think, is one of the most profound things that is in James Comey's book. And he contrasts this with Trump's listening or lack of listening. He said in a Trump interview or Trump interaction, it was a one-way diatribe from Trump. And it was, as I mentioned, more about affirmation than exploration of perspective. So this, forget the presidents. I think this as a concept is really important for us to latch onto and to really explore. The third piece I wanted to focus on in terms of the value of Comey's book was this notion of higher loyalty. Now, of course, you know, my third book is called Loyalty. I talk about loyalty in a very different context. I talk about it in terms of stopping unwanted staff turnover and building team engagement. And for me, loyalty in that context is about advocacy and not longevity. And that's the key point of my book. In Comey's book, he used that phrase, a higher loyalty, in reference to a very pivotal conversation he had with Trump, which is out in the public domain, where he had a dinner one-on-one with Trump at the White House, where Trump basically said, I expect loyalty, I need loyalty. And what he was inferring was personal loyalty, which means you go to bat for me, the individual. And in that conversation, Comey relates how he just sat and stared at the president, trying not to say anything because he was so shocked at what the connotation of that request was all about. Because basically, Trump was asking Comey, this is what Comey thought anyway, to, no matter his responsibilities as head of the FBI, is to make sure that he was loyal to Trump himself. So basically, he would cowtail, I think, maybe that's too strong a word, but defer to Trump in protecting Trump's interests. Now, here's the part of the book that I don't think is so great, is that Comey makes parallel comparisons to the mob at this point. He makes it up front at the beginning of the book and also at this point, because he said in the mob, this is what it's like, is that you swear fealty to the head of the family. So very much like swearing fealty in days of old, where you pledge allegiance to your lord, you pledge allegiance to the head of the mafia family, and you cannot break such loyalty unless you have to kill someone. it's a crazy world, but so he said, he explains how it works in the mafia, and then he paralleled that to what he was experiencing in his conversation with Trump, basically making the comparison that what Trump was asking was kind of like what the mob gangsters asked. Now, I get where he's coming from. He's highlighting that this personal loyalty thing comes from a different style and context of leadership. But I think it's a bit much to do a side-by-side comparison like that. It's one thing to be head of a mob and to dictate that kind of loyalty, and it's another thing entirely to be head of a business empire and to demand personal loyalty, and then to be demand personal loyalty as a president. The important thing to take out of that comparison, though, is the dangers inherent in it, because that kind of loyalty is blind loyalty, and it means sacrificing all other values in order to be personally committed to the individual, which, by the way, I highlight in my own book as one of the dangers of that kind of loyalty. So what Comey explains as a higher part of loyalty is a higher loyalty commitment of values, and this is the part that I like. Is he says, when you know what your values are, you are guided by those, and they trump any, oh, pardon the pun, that was totally not deliberate, they trump any other requirements. So in his perspective, he was loyal to the ethics of what the FBI stood for, an independent, non-political force that was to investigate crimes and criminal activity, whether in government or out. And so he was loyal to that principle and not to any individual or head of state. And so when the president asked him for his loyalty, he didn't say anything. Trump came back to it later on in the dinner, of course, and says, I expect loyalty. And Comey famously replies, you'll always have honesty from me. And then Trump, trying to spin it to his advantage, says, I like that, honest loyalty. And Comey, not knowing what else to do and hoping to shut down the conversation, said, yes, honest loyalty. So he was loyal in his honesty. Fabulous. So what can you get out of this book? I think the greatest value is in the concepts of deep listening, that sort of push and pull concept, the confidence to be humble, and this notion of higher loyalty and being led by your values. It's also fascinating to see how a public figure leads through such tumultuous times. Oh, I should say something on the Clinton emails, by the way. So the Clinton emails, and because people are always didn't know what to make of that. So there was an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails because she had a separate server. And was this illegal activity? Was this unconscionable, etc.? And in their initial investigation, they found that it was extremely careless, but not illegal, and certainly not a good thing to have happened. And then they discovered there was another laptop with somebody else she had corresponded to, which had a whole bunch of other emails. So they reopened the investigation just 11 days before the election. And many have said, well, that threw Hillary Clinton under the bus and skewed the outcome of the election because people thought, well, she must be a criminal. And for Comey, it was... In the book, he highlights, I was in an impossible position. If you don't do anything, it comes out later that you had this information, he didn't announce it, then it looks like you were colluding in support of Clinton. And if you do come out with it now, it positions her in a very negative light. So he said, there's a disastrous consequence, which is basically, if he hid the fact that they're reopening an investigation, he would break the trust of the American people and the FBI. So that's catastrophe. And he said the worst, less bad option was to reopen the investigation and be open about it, because the discourse about the investigation was already in the public eye. So that's what he did. So rock, hard place. And he picked hard place. So from his point of view, it sucked. He wished that Hillary Clinton never had that separate server, et cetera, for her personal email that she used to discuss high-level U.S. intel. In any case, that's what happened from his point of view. So he wasn't trying to throw Hillary under the bus as much as people said. He kind of went with his higher-level principles on that, according to his book, which I might remember is a perspective in itself. So take everything with a grain of truth. Take the book for what it is. It's a brilliant insight into leadership, an exploration of one man's journey through the highest echelons of power in one of the biggest nations and most powerful nations in the world. Definitely worth reading. Worth reading? Definitely worth reading. All right. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. I really appreciate it so you don't miss another episode. In the meantime, live well, lead well.